I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holden Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court. Hello, it's good to be back in the saddle again with you. Yes.
Giddy up.
Okay, giddy up. Goddamn. Giddy up. I'm kicking my whole... Giddy up.
Listen. Okay, here we go. You are so ridiculous. Fun docket today. I always love a good docket with Halle Berry on it.
Me too.
It just does something for my spirit.
I love Halle Berry anyway. She is literally aging goals.
Oh my
gosh. For me. That's how you do it.
You know what? From an aesthetic standpoint, and it also just looks like she's having more fun.
More fun. She puts her arm around the young people that have... Yes. She embraces the culture of the new artists, the new talent.
Absolutely.
That's how you're supposed to do it.
She's not trying to hold on for dear life like some of these desperate 50 plus women.
Exactly.
That and shall not be
exactly.
named.
Exactly. Shunning the young people and the people that and not and
blackballing people.
Right.
You trying to hold on to your little chairs as desperate as possible.
That's
girl.
The problem.
No, Halle said, I got my Oscar, I got my kids, I got my gazillions.
Yeah.
It's gold.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can see it in
her. And she's got a man, which we're going to get into. That's why she's on the docket. So, because I definitely did not know. I was yesterday years old, pretty much, finding out that she was even still legally married. So, Halle and her soon-to-be ex-husband, Olivier Martinez, that is the fine French man from Unfaithful. Mm-hmm. Remember that film with Richard Gere and Diane Lane?
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah.
So, Halle and this man got married long ago, separated 3 years after. They do share one child together. And come to find out, Dustin, they are still legally married after all this time. So they have hired what is called a private judge to rule in their ongoing divorce settlement. Both of us, I saw, were getting tagged in this story on social because people are like, what the hell is a private judge? So we're going to unpack that. Then we're going to get into this story. It's just sad all around. I'm so glad this teacher didn't die. A six-year-old in Virginia took a whole firearm to school, shot his teacher. Thank God she lived to tell about it. He, again, is only six, so now the mother is being charged criminally. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. And then lastly, this is just sad. A black couple in the state of Texas says that authorities seized their newborn daughter because they chose a midwife over a hospital. This one touched me personally, Dustin, because as you know, I am in the midst of my single motherhood journey. And having these conversations with my OBGYN right now about midwives, about doulas, because the reality is when it comes to black women and childbirth, we die. It could cost us our life to try to bring life into this world. So I really want to put my arms around this black couple who has chosen to put themselves in best position by hiring a black midwife, having their home birth, and they are now being literally criminalized for it, and it's horrible.
That one really fucked me up when we were preparing the notes, and when I was going over the production notes and the script for today.
Yeah.
That really just bothered me.
Yeah, because it's and we'll talk about it, but it is the overt policing of black family.
I mean,
it's giving enslavement era. It's giving taking a black baby or child from a crying, screaming mother. It's giving oversight and authority to break up black family. And that is the generational trauma of being black in America.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it play out in real time in 2023. And it's devastating, and it's like disconjoining, and it's very disruptive.
We'll get there. I just want to know why the doctor did what the doctor did. So we'll get there.
Because the doctor set that whole thing in motion. You're correct. All right, so we're going to start a little lighter, at least light for us. I don't know how light it is for Halle's pocket.
Okay.
Miss Halle Berry, queen of the baddies.
That's right.
Because she is. I don't give a damn what y'all say.
Yeah.
Halle Berry and her estranged husband have hired what they call a private judge to rule in their ongoing divorce. Judge Roy Paul and his assistant have reportedly been retained by the former couple at the tune of $300 an hour. I have to tell you, I thought that was low.
Ebony, I was just getting ready to say, when I saw the amount, I would have thought $3,000.
Literally.
You know what I mean? An hour for this.
I used to bill for more than that. And that was 10 years ago, and that was North Carolina.
I said, no wonder they picked him. Shit, they got a deal. The nigga was on sale.
Oh my God, you better make me spit out this water. You better stop it. But clearly, no, that's a bargain basement rate. Actually, did you forget a zero? Was it $3,000 an hour? She's like, no, bitch, that ain't on me.
She's like, no.
Wow,
Felt like that was low.
That is extremely low, I think. But I'm going to tell y'all how these private judges even get into play, because most of us have never even heard of this. Most of us did not even know this was a thing. And it's not a thing everywhere. So that's one of the reasons. This is a California type of situation.
Okay.
There's a few other places, but not most places. Halle Berry is a strong, beautiful 56 years old. Olivier is 57. They got married back in 2013. They did some terrible film together and then fell in love, I guess, on set. They split only 3 years later. But before that, they did have a son. He is now 9 years old. And you know, we don't know what them kids look like. We kind of know what Nala looks like, but we don't really know what that son looks like.
We ain't seen that little boy. They've been doing a good job.
Yeah. You know who else kids we have never freaking seen?
Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington! Get out of my head!
Kerry Washington. And won't.
She is the, I aspire
protective
to that level of that. And she's been married for 10 years, and we'll hardly see him.
And they're a beautiful couple.
Beautiful.
And I love that he plays his position.
Absolutely.
And just.
I heard he plays the, well, I'm just playing.
He must. They got two.
Got two.
They got two of them.
His thigh,
okay.
Oh, my God.
That anyway, because damn.
Where was I in the script?
Right.
kind of beside myself.
But we haven't seen Young Maceo. That's
Young
his
Maceo.
Name, right?
We have not seen Young Maceo. Him. That probably is something that Olivier must mandate versus her other thirst bucket baby daddy. Love to be in the center of attention.
Yeah, trying to take all her money. I never trusted that relationship in the first place.
Gabriel. No, because he never worked.
Yeah.
You know, he did a couple little Calvin Klein ads, and he ain't worked since.
We ain't seen him since. Oh, Halle Berry said,
She had to get on with it. She need a working man.
A working man. Okay.
So apparently this $300 an hour judge, Judge Paul, will decide all of the remaining matters in this divorce. We have seen these types of divorces play out long like this. You know, I want to say Bethany Frankel might still not be divorced.
Yeah, I don't think they're divorced yet.
Yeah.
No.
So this does happen in these high profile, high net worth divorces. It's just ridiculous. I would have gave up on it a long time ago. I would have pulled out the Dustin Ross Keep It playbook and just cut the fucking check and let's go.
Yeah,
I can't have this holding over my head.
Done with your ass. You know what
Literally,
I'm saying? Like,
there's
yeah.
almost no amount I wouldn't pay just to be done with your ass. And y'all know how I feel about dating while separated. I don't like it. I think it always, forget the morals. It's just messy. It convolutes the divorce, the ongoing divorce, and that might
be what's going on here.
Might be a factor.
Because isn't she in? She's in a relationship with the singer Van Hunt, right?
Honey, in love.
Yeah.
You know they did that. Now this was corny, Auntie Hallie. She had that little fake ass wedding announcement New Year's.
Yeah.
But no, but they've been rocking and rolling for I think about 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looks to be the light of her life. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are booed. Up.
His music is good.
Is it like an Eric Benet vibe?
Sort of.
Okay.
He had a song called Down Here in Hell with You that used to be my shit.
Really? I gotta go look him up on Spotify.
Van Hunt got some music.
Okay. Well, she's his biggest groupie. She'll wear the Van Hunt t-shirt. She'll put a vintage t-shirt out on you. You know, but they're very cute. I mean, he's been
strumming
on red carpets.
Pain with his fingers. Okay. That's what he's been doing.
Killing me softly, honey. Emphasis on soft. Yeah, he's been on several red carpets with her. But yeah, when there's an ongoing divorce, Dustin, even if I don't want you, I'm going to just speak for myself, because I remember this in my divorce. I think I talked about this publicly, but if not, it's story time with Auntie E.
Come on.
When I was in the midst of my divorce a million years ago from my short-lived marriage in my late 20s, I remember we were separated, literally separated, lived in different places, had no real communication with each other. I think I did tell this story on the show before. He popped up on Facebook with a boo. Disrespectful.
Yeah.
You're still my husband, according to the letter of the law. If you don't take that shit down. Now, I don't care what you do. But there's
but you ain't going to do it like that.
You're not going to do it like that.
That's the thing.
That's the thing. Because I wouldn't do that to you.
Yeah. And haven't.
And haven't. And not because of you, but because of my own integrity.
And not because you couldn't.
Oh, let me move on. let me just move right on along in the bullet points.
Okay.
So,
because clearly.
Okay. So let's talk about a private judge. What the hell is that? it is really something that is a temporary judge. It's something, the legal term, hold on, I'm going to give you the Latin term, pro temp, judge pro temp. And that, once I saw that frame, I have seen that before in certain jurisdictions. It's simply the court allowing a temporary judge. This is typically somebody who is retired from being on the actual elected bench or appointed bench. It could be somebody who's never a judge. It could just be a retired attorney. Somebody who's looking for a little side change. Mm-hmm. Their only real requirement is they have to be a lawyer admitted to that jurisdiction, and they have to be well-versed in family law. Mm-hmm. Those are the requirements. Again, very specific to California, does this more than any other place. The private judge allows a few things that are special. Number one, that individual has a very light docket, so they're going to be able to get you in and out much faster than a sitting superior court judge that has thousands upon thousands upon thousands of cases, and you know that could drag out for years. Mm-hmm. Versus that pro temp judge, that temporary judge, they just might have a handful of cases they're even working on.
They can
focus on that. They can take everything into deeper consideration because they got the time. Also, it's someone that the couple or their lawyers have agreed upon. Mm-hmm. So you're choosing this individual. You can't pick your judge in normal open court. Mm-hmm. But the biggest advantage, Dustin, is the privacy aspect. When you're taking your case to normal family court, it doesn't matter where you are, that's a public hearing. That's a public situation. Anybody could be in the galley. Anybody can have access to the documents. That is the public nature of open court. When you do this private thing, this private judge, this temporary pro temp judge, everything is contained until the final ruling. So the only thing that becomes public is what y'all actually decide upon, but not the messy back and forth, not the disclosure documents, not the this how much I made this month, and now I'm asking for an increase based off I lost my job. All that kind of messy shit is kept private in this situation. And so the only one could be thinking, well, that sounds fucking great. Why does everybody not have the private judge situation? Because you got to pay for it.
Yeah.
That's why. And again, as we both agree, $300 is low. Normally that rate is closer to $2,000 or $3,000 per hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the situation on the private judge situation. So again, when you got the bag like Hallie, and I don't know what Olivier is doing these days. I haven't seen him working in a long time.
He probably watching that boy we ain't seen.
Maybe. Maybe a stay-at-home daddy situation. Who knows?
They need to stop trying to leech off of Halle Berry. I'm sick of these men getting with her.
I'm not. I blame the good sis on that. Mm-hmm. And this is why, I don't give a damn what the streets say. I don't believe in dating men where I am the breadwinner.
Yeah.
And she does that repeatedly.
And always repeatedly ends up in this situation.
Literally. I want to say the last time Halle Berry dated a man that was equally yoked to her financially was David Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And that
didn't work out.
Didn't work out, Was he abusive?
There's rumors that it could have been a couple of other people as well.
Well, I know who it was that was Christopher Williams.
Yep, and his name is always a part of that conversation.
I can tell you, he told me to my face. We went on a date many moons ago. Mm-hmm. Many moons ago. And after we ordered our beverages, that was the second thing out of his mouth was,
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Yeah.
Literally. So shout out to Christopher Williams.
Yeah, for cleaning that shit up because his name is always mentioned.
It is always mentioned. I know that's it really bothers him. Yeah. It really does bother him.
Who would want that attention?
That is a terrible. Like child molesting and woman beating are two of the worst things you could be accused
Absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely.
Terrible. Okay, so that's it for Miss Hallie. She needs to pick better. You think she's going to marry Van Hunt? I think she is. I think she got the same problem as J-Lo. They are addicted to marriage.
Yeah, and I think that but out of everyone that we've seen her be in a relationship with, this seems to be her most grounded and stable, outing to, in that space. So,
yeah, I'm with you. I just make it make sense, Hallie. That's all I'm going
to say. It would have to as many times as her ass has been in the courts behind a nigga.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, not even one. Because these.
No, they are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're going to do that. Yeah, they are. It fits.
So me personally, I would be trying to stay completely out. I would never get married again.
I don't even see the
why. No
you got your kids. You got your money. Let's just be in love.
Yeah.
But I can see Van be like, put a ring on it, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Singing it to her. You gonna marry me? Okay.
A mess. Moving on to the state of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
This was really just outrageous when we read the headlines, right? A mother is being charged with felony child neglect, according to the Virginia Commonwealth Attorney. Her name is Deja Taylor. she has also been charged with a misdemeanor for recklessly leaving a loaded firearm around a child. So two charges, one felony for child neglect, another misdemeanor for leaving the gun around a child, loaded, by the way. That's the allegation, at least. Authorities allege that the firearm the boy used in the shooting belonged to his mother. So this is indeed the mother, Deja Taylor's gun. Keep in mind, this all happened just at the top of the year, in January. A white woman by the name of Abby Zwirner, she is a teacher, 25 years old, at an elementary school. So this is not high school, not middle school, elementary school. She was shot in the hand and the chest by the six-year-old little boy. This is the little boy being Deja's son. The teacher, Abby, spent 2 weeks at the hospital, had to undergo four surgeries. My goodness. Fallout from the school, the superintendent was fired, as he should have been. The assistant principal of the school did resign, and the teacher is, I believe, rightfully suing the school system for $40 million, alleging that they ignored warnings that the student had a weapon that day and was in a violent mood. This is just terrible. A violent mood for, at six.
That's not funny at all. So I'm by no means laughing at what happened to this teacher, right? But just to hear that,
yeah,
that they had warned, that this six-year-old boy had a, they warned people.
Yeah.
Look, he got
he on one today. He on one today. He always be funny acting, but I'm telling you, today he is particularly on one.
Lord, forgive me, because we are by no means laughing at what happened to her. But the fact that they was like, look,
today
y'all better get his ass, because before he get our ass,
literally,
you know what I'm saying.
So it's funny you break that down, because that's really what this legal case is going to turn on. In terms of her lawsuit. It's going to turn on the issue of foreseeability.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the city and the school system, they're already making their argument that, like, it's not a reasonable expectation that we should have to protect a teacher from getting shot at an elementary school. Yeah, but apparently, according to reports, Dustin, this particular young six-year-old child had a long record of violence. It was documented and reported that he should be accompanied by an adult at all times. So the question of foreseeability in this particular case, mm-hmm, looks different. Because,
mm-hmm,
if I'm teacher Abby's lawyer, nah, y'all motherfuckers knew this particular young boy was a threat.
Yep.
And he was not being watched nor supervised. And the fact that he was able to bring a gun, a loaded firearm, onto this school campus in the first place, and discharge it, not once but twice? Nah, that's not in the job description. It's not. So
I would have thought the kickback from the gun going off.
But he might have been a big built 6 year old.
Yeah, he's 6 year olds now.
Yeah, everything's built different now.
Eating McDonald's and shit.
These hormones and the chicken and shit.
You know,
they're not even real chicken no more. So I was surprised.
And he shot her in the hand and the chest.
In the chest.
That means that he, like.
No, that is wild.
Yeah.
So I think, to be candid, I think the mother is. Let's just say this.
What you gonna say? She better off that the boy is he? Because he's not in the home no more, right?
Right. She might be safer.
Because his ass. Let's just call it out. You know what I'm saying? Something is going on.
He's the what's that Macaulay Culkin movie? Remember the bad son or the bad seed? Whatever the hell that was.
Bad seed.
Yes.
Remember the back in the day, the bad seed, that black and white movie.
Yes.
She was throwing motherfuckers in the incinerator and shit.
Yeah. The thing is this young man is 6 years old. To be clear, he is not being charged because he's six. But what needs to clearly happen is this young man needs some very serious treatment, mental illness treatment, probably some medication, mm-hmm, for his own safety. We know the deadly threat he is to others. I'm just going to go ahead and say it's safe to say he's probably very much a threat to himself as well.
Yeah.
So he needs to be under medical treatment, period. And so the charges that Deja Taylor is facing is because of her knowledge of the severity of her son's troubles, we'll call them that,
mm-hmm,
and your inability to adhere to the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Why was he alone? Why did he have access to a firearm? Ma'am, you know that your child has a propensity for violence. It's been well documented and assessed. Why is there a loaded firearm in your house, period? At that point.
Anywhere near him.
So all of those are the reasons
why. He might have made her get it.
Right, give me Deja. He probably call her Deja.
Yeah. Deja, get out of here.
Get that gun. Like, okay, scared and shit. Yeah, she might be happy to be in custody. Who knows? Yeah, so she's going to face those charges. She's likely going to plead, Dustin, to the misdemeanor charge. I don't think they're going to convict the woman of a felony. She didn't shoot the teacher, but she's probably going to have to do a misdemeanor plea, definitely be in some parenting classes. And I don't know the scenario in which this child is put back in her home. I don't really see it, to be honest.
Well, there's so many questions, and I'm sure there's procedures and processes, you know, pertaining to the law regarding this.
Yeah.
Yeah, your kid can't go to the school and shoot a teacher, and then they just come home.
Absolutely
not. It doesn't
not.
Work like that.
Absolutely not. The Commonwealth's attorney, Dustin, say every criminal case is unique in its facts. These facts support these particular charges, but our investigation continues, so could be more charges to come. Commonwealth attorney also has petitioned for a special grand jury to continue the investigation into security issues that may have contributed to the shooting. And that's a good point. Like, this is not all on Deja, nor is this all on this six-year-old child. This is a security failure. This is school failure. This is administrative failure. And that's why she is suing the school system with their deep pockets for $40 million.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because the gun was brought onto the school grounds.
Exactly.
Period.
Period.
There's your liability.
That's it. This is wild. With this, with what happened in Tennessee with the six lives lost, including three children, you know, Sandy Hook, I mean, we'll be here all day, right? It's just really just, it just says something about our society, and I'm not even going to get on a political kick. I'm just going to say it says something about society that schoolyards are shooting ranges, and that's the fact.
That is mind-blowing. Unbelievable. And nobody cares. You know what I mean? There was my birthday was April 10th. There was a shooting that morning. The very next day, there was another shooting on the 11th. I said to myself, like, God damn, this is really happening more than people. I just saw an article that said there were more mass shootings this year
than days,
than
of,
days
the
of the calendar year.
Yeah.
As we move forward.
Yeah, literally.
Six years old, Ebony.
Yeah. And what's real crazy is, and I talked about this on my sidebar on The Griot, which airs at 6 p.m. every evening. Where check your local listings for The Griot. I talked about the fact that this is one of the few areas where diversity shows up in a really fucked up way. Because it doesn't, we're talking about white people getting shot, little white kids getting shot, black church parishioners getting shot, Jews at synagogue getting shot, gays at nightclub getting shot.
Going to the damn grocery store.
Black people going to pick up some fucking potatoes and turnips getting shot. Asian women going to work.
Yeah.
Getting shot,
killed.
It's
crazy. It is crazy to me. It is crazy to me. And it's the most, it is just, you are, that's a different type of coward. That's a different type of bad person that can do something like that. Killing children, killing people,
that's
killing
wild.
Old people, killing
old
innocent people,
yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Just, and it's just not, it is non-discriminatory in a really shocking way. Because
bitch, because you weird and going through your own shit.
Yeah.
Weirdo. And now you're going to take it out on these people that don't have nothing to do with it.
And I guess it just, you know, maybe because I'm in this industry and we cover these cases, I find myself like, you know, even like going into a Taco Bell, like I feel like a target, you know, because that happens. Like, you know, we live in Harlem. Like it happens all the time. People literally getting shot at fucking, what was it? KFC or something. Burger King. There was a shooting just last year. Like literally I'm here to get a Whopper and some onion rings and you don't make it out alive.
It's scary.
Yeah, it's real crazy. So that is what's going to be happening for Miss Deja. We just wish, you know, peace and safety to all of those involved here, because that is a very, very wild story. We're going to wrap this one up with a really sad cautionary tale of a black couple. This is Rodney and Tamisha Jackson. They made, I think, a very brave and smart choice, which is to give birth. Tamisha gave birth at home with the assistance of a certified midwife, a black woman. Now, let me just talk a little bit about why she did that. As we record this show, Dustin, we are in the midst of Black Maternal Mortality Week. And Health Week, I guess, really, which talks about the fact that Black women die in childbirth at least twice as often as our white counterparts. And when we say childbirth, I want to give some scope to that. Women die in this both during the actual childbirth and immediately postpartum. So it could be up to 6 weeks post-giving birth that you also are at risk for death. It's devastating. We've all heard the stories. You remember Judge Glenda Hatchett?
Yes. Yeah.
Her daughter-in-law died in childbirth.
Yeah.
I've interviewed her. Her husband, the deceased husband. Her name is, I want to say, oh, it's escaping me. But she's beautiful, beautiful mm-hmm. young woman. Was giving birth to her second son, and her the husband Charles talks about her so beautifully, and the fact that she should be here, and she's not. She's not because of this issue that happens when Black women are not believed, when they talk about the pain and other side effects, symptoms that they are suffering during childbirth, Justin. They are not medicated. They are not, they're just not taken seriously in American hospitals. And it's a tragedy, and we're dying because of it. So this couple, the Jacksons, decided to take their childbirthing experience and keep it in the home. They did give birth to their newborn daughter with a licensed midwife. And what they chose to do, the little baby started showing symptoms of jaundice, which mm-hmm. is very common.
Very common.
Very common. A little yellowing of the skin, yellowing of the eyes, whatever. They take their baby to a pediatrician. The pediatrician, I want to just break this down slowly. So the pediatrician said that the case was severe. Okay, so back to jaundice. Yellowing of the skin and the whites of the eyes get a little yellow. Typically, jaundice goes away in a couple of weeks without treatment. And I'm certain that that was what the Jacksons relied upon when they said, okay, thank you, doctor. We're going to take our daughter home. Well, this particular pediatrician said that the case was severe enough that they should take the daughter, the little baby, to a hospital for phototherapy treatment. The Jacksons decided they didn't want to do that, take her to the hospital, but they did say that they were going to pursue the phototherapy treatment with their midwife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's the problem? Well, this pediatrician decides that he's gonna report this to Child Protective Services. He was concerned that they might use the wrong lights for the treatment. That is literally where all of this goes left. Because this pediatrician made up a story. Because where did you get, what evidence did you have that they were gonna use the wrong lights? You made that up. You made up a story that they might use the wrong lights for the treatment. Thus, and by the way, the Jacksons did more than they really needed to do here. They connected this pediatrician with the midwife so they could have communication. But their communication broke down. No fault of the Jacksons. And the pediatrician claims that he tried to contact the midwife 10 times through calls, text messages, and voicemails and couldn't get through. At that point, he decides to report them to Child Protective Services. He gives this comment. The parents are very loving and they care deeply about their baby. Their distrust for medical care and guidance has led them to make a decision for the baby to refuse a simple treatment that can prevent brain damage. Sir, first of all, that's a lie. They didn't refuse treatment. They refused treatment under your care. They pursued the recommended treatment with their midwife, but that wasn't good enough for you. So you call Child Protective Services. Child Protective Services and the Dallas police arrived to the Jacksons' doorstep at around 5 o'clock in the morning. Family sleep, of course. They come and they say that the pediatrician had reported them and demanded that they turn over their infant daughter to them. As you might understand, the Jacksons say, get the hell out of here.
Hell no.
Right. And that was that. Later, they came back, both Dallas Child Protective Services, to return to the house the same day. The Jacksons again refused to turn over their newborn baby girl. And the Jacksons reached out to their midwife for support, as they should. This is from Mrs. Jackson. Our midwife then reached out to the pediatrician, just letting him know that he had traumatized us, that we were awoken by the police banging on our door at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. Then after she gave him all the credentials that he requested from her, keep in mind, this is a licensed midwife. He pretty much said he was going to leave our care to our midwife team. So they thought this was over, this horrific experience. Nope. Later on that week, Mr. Jackson was walking the family dog outside the house They again asked to get his baby. He says, hell no. They place this man under arrest, Dustin. They take his keys. They use this man's keys to go into his home. And they seized this baby girl. They literally took this infant from her mother's care. She claims that the warrant that the police department used to take the baby girl did not even have her actual name on it. It had another woman's name who had previous run-ins with Child Protective Services.
Now see,
so it all looks sketchy.
Now see, first of all, to me, this pediatrician resents alternative medical care, right?
That's it.
They resent the fact that these midwives are being used. They consider it a threat to their
income. Yep.
And they have a resentment there. Bitch, you know damn well that CPS was not needed in this case because you took your fingers and wrote on that report, the couple loves the baby very much.
Yeah, literally.
And they have a distrust of medical care that is the wording is important here,
yes.
Right? A simple process. So you resent the fact that they don't want to fuck with y'all. That's what you resent.
And that's all they said. What they did not say, this is important. They didn't say, we're not going to seek the treatment. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
They didn't even say, we're going to get a second opinion. They said, we're going to adhere to your recommendation to get the phototherapy, but we're just going to do it with our practitioner of choice, which is our certified midwife. And that's the part he didn't like.
That's the part he didn't like. And he took it upon himself, right?
Yep.
To put them into the system. That's what he did. He put them in the system.
He penalized them.
Yeah.
He penalized them. So now this baby girl is with some foster family. It's being reported that the mother is not able to deliver breast milk to her daughter. And we all hear the reports about how important that level of nutrients is to a newborn. And also the baby apparently has gotten some type of irritation around her genitalia. And is still with this same foster family. So you took this healthy, little sweet loved baby, put her with a foster family, and now God knows what's happening to her.
I can't even imagine, because this is the crossroads of circumstances that is not good for me,
yeah.
Right? Like, I can't be in it. My child, y'all gonna take my damn baby from me?
Yeah. No, it's real, real crazy. The position they have put these parents in, let's just say, any action they take would be understandable.
I just don't get it. And then I also have questions for the parents. Like, why, at a certain point, you don't need to be calling the midwife.
Yeah.
You don't.
At some point, you need to be calling a lawyer.
You need to be calling a goddamn lawyer.
Yes.
That's who you need. The midwife
Absolutely.
Communicating with that doctor and saying, well, you traumatized him. That's ineffective.
No.
That's not going to do anything.
No. At that point, you're correct. They needed to have hired an attorney. They do have, thank God, they have the support of this birth justice organization. I think it's AFIA Center. This is in Texas. And one of their spokespersons said this. It's a prime example of over-policing black children, black families, black women, black community workers, and also the black midwife who's not being trusted of what she's capable of doing when she's licensed and certified to do so. It is that. But again, at this point, I hope the AFIA Center, if they haven't already, they need a lawyer on the line.
Pardon
they need,
me.
Like, you know, on retainer.
Multiple lawyers.
Yeah, because this is going to probably continue to be an issue.
And they're in Texas.
And we all know how the jurisdiction looks in Texas.
So come on, like, what do you mean? They literally took that baby. Now, I have a lot of questions. Is this doctor, we need to investigate this doctor.
Absolutely.
People steal babies all the time. Babies cost that.
There's a whole market.
Come on.
There's a whole market for stolen children and infants. So,
for so many reasons.
For so many reasons.
So is this.
Is he getting a kickback?
Like, what's really going on here? Because
all
it's
fair.
So odd to me that the doctor was that moved to fucking contact CPS. What's this? What kind of pipeline is this?
And what is this? I want to know the actual charge that the father was arrested for, because he wouldn't comply with your commands, you know, of turning over his infant daughter. You better get the hell out of this black man's face. But again, for me, it goes back to the pedigree of our country, Dustin, that has always felt entitled to police, break up, devastate, and destroy black families.
Yep.
It's an American way of being. And now that
Damn.
We are experiencing right now in this moment, this kind of a seismic shift where you see black Americans saying, not today.
Mm-hmm.
That shit might have gone down yesterday, But today is a new day. This is what I talk about in Bet on Black. The good news about being black in America today. Okay. You better tell somebody.
You better read that damn book. Good news.
That's it. This is just a seismic shift where black Americans are saying no more.
Yeah.
And the hostility, when we say no more, we're not going to be subordinate. We're not going to be secondary.
How dare you? I'm taking your fucking baby. That's exactly what they said. That is so crazy to me. And that damn doctor, that's where it starts. Mm-hmm. Investigate the doctor. Investigate everyone who was involved on this taking place. The people who said yes to the next steps in the process and it being advanced.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to be investigated.
But the Jacksons also going to get some money. Let me tell you that.
Oh, what?
Yeah, they're going to get a lot of money from the state of Texas. It will not make up for the trauma that I know that they're experiencing. And also, how traumatized this little baby must be.
Yeah, these irritation on her genitals.
She's not getting the breast milk she needs for her nutrients and her immune system to properly build up. She's away from the touch, the smell, the sound of her mother, of her father. She's with strangers. You know, that's going to be a crazy lawsuit. Crazy lawsuit.
As it should be. And they need to get that baby home.
Immediately.
What's the name of the agency they've been working with?
A fire center.
They need to get the boots on the damn ground.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's time to make this happen because they've stolen these people's baby.
They have literally stolen this sweet black baby.
The hell?
A spokesperson from a fire center says this to Jezebel Publication. It would not be going this way if it were a white family. Mm-hmm. We know that. Police have always been a threat to black families, and that includes CPS, which is just the family police. Mm-hmm. They treat black people as just guilty or wrong without an investigation, and they'll just take action and figure it out later while we suffer through the process. And that's facts. This default presumption of black criminality, this default presumption, Dustin, of black wrongdoing, it's cellular. It's in the DNA of the land that we call home here in America. And as we do the work generationally to undo that hardwiring, this is what this looks like.
Yeah, this is ridiculous and sad and frightening, terrifying, mm-hmm. horrible, horrific. This is all those things. Stripping a mother and father of their newborn baby, it's inhumane.
Yeah. And what this pediatrician has done, Dustin, is undermine his own position because all he's done by doing this to this black family is shown a model that tells other black families that have the same concerns as the Jacksons, Don't even take it to the pediatrician.
That's exactly what this is doing.
Because look what happened.
Yep.
You know, so now you're going to have potentially little black and brown babies suffering and not seeing the medical care that they probably do need in some cases because you have created a fear
mm-hmm.
around what the consequences are for the baby and the parents when you involved mainstream medicine in any way. It's awful.
Investigate the doctor. Investigate everybody at CPS that the doctor has been in contact with.
Absolutely.
Everybody at CPS that was involved in this taking place.
Absolutely.
Investigate all of this. This could be a situation where they are trying to put babies in the foster care system to keep this network of foster families. It's just there's so many motivations.
Adoption. I mean, it all stinks to high hell. It's something very rotten in the state of Denmark there, and it's really awful. And again, it just hit me different because I am at this place of planning,
Ebony.
You know, what my birthing journey could look like, right? And, you know, educating myself on the benefits of a doula, of a midwife, the differences there, what's important. Can they work alongside my obstetrician or do I want a water birth? People are going to birthing centers now. There's like you said, there's people are going outside the box because we have to.
If you're a midwife, a doula, if you're a professional midwife, a professional doula, put some protections in place for yourself.
Absolutely.
Learn from this situation, right? Mm-hmm. Like figure out, and a lot of those experiences are motivated by people having a spiritual connection or having good intentions,
sure.
You know, but sometimes you also have to
take care of the business.
Take
care of the business.
Put some sort of protections in place. I don't know what that looks like or whatever.
I think it's
but
at this point we see it's got to be some type of legal advocate.
Yeah.
You know, and these birthing centers, which they are popping up more and more, which is great. And these justice coordinators. I think you're making a good point here, Dustin, which is we know it comes from this kind of holistic, mm-hmm. Emo, emotionally mm-hmm. driven, spiritually driven, community driven energy, which is fantastic.
But
you've got to put the business around
it. There you go.
You've got to have that legal advocacy component, because had a lawyer representing the Jackson family been involved earlier here, mm-hmm. Like you said, when the cops came at 5 a.m., there should have been a lawyer in place at that point.
To prevent this from taking place.
To prevent
place.
Them from even coming back, seizing the child or arresting the father.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That needs to be a part of this. And it also will make, from a business perspective,
sure.
right? It'll make you more attractive to
yes.
people who potentially want to use
pursue
your services.
This, yeah. Route, yeah.
When you're saying, by the way, you know what I mean?
We've got attorneys on retainer.
That's right.
So that if there's any interference from.
That's right.
Yeah, because I think, unfortunately, and I said this at the setup of this story, Dustin, it's a cautionary tale, because what we're seeing now as more and more black families and black women and black fathers pursue alternatives to classical hospital childbirths, which have proven deadly,
mm-hmm.
okay, we now need to look at what happened to the Jacksons and learn from it
mm-hmm.
and say now a legal advocate has got to be a part of that team
mm-hmm.
because more and more and more, it's what you follow the money, y'all. This is all about money. First of all, let's be very clear. This ain't about protecting no black kids.
Not
it ain't about
all.
None of that. It's about money. It's about as black families more and more and more opt out of traditional mainstream hospital childbirth, their bottom line will suffer, and they are looking to undermine that process, to make that process dangerous,
by
to make that process scary.
Necessary.
So we have to respond in kind. Lawyer up.
Much love to that family, man. I know that's got to be a horrifying
a nightmare.
Experience.
They're living a nightmare right now. They still
yeah.
don't have their baby.
Yep.
As of the recording of this show.
And they said they were treating them like fucking criminals at the supervised visits that they are allowed with the
own
child.
An infant. Devastating. Yeah, but, you know, as y'all, as we continue to exercise our rights beyond a healthcare system that has failed us, which I fully support, a lawyer's got to be part of it. I think we just see that now. You know, the minute Child Protective Services, contact my attorney.
Not the goddamn midwife. Who is doing nothing but sharing feelings. Well, they're traumatized. You traumatize them.
No,
you have your lawyer call. If that damn child is not returned by this time,
that's it.
That's
We're filing a civil rights
Hell
action.
Yeah.
We're filing a kidnapping. I mean, you.
All
let's go.
The above.
Let's go.
Because you've done it.
And now not only are we going to do it, we're going to hold a press conference.
Everyone's going to know.
And everyone's going to know that Dallas Child Protective Services and Dallas PD.
There you go.
Thinks it's 1825 and they think
there
that they
go.
Still have a legal right to put a black baby on the auction block. Honey, I ripped them a whole. Honey.
It's so much stuff going on right now. See, you know it. It's so much shit going on right now with laws being repealed and taken back
That's
and changed.
It.
They're trying to Handmaid's Tale our ass.
Absolutely.
Okay? That's
Absolutely.
Literally what the end
is.
Whatever
this shit
form.
Back to roots.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally.
Stripping people of their rights, taking babies
this
out of
this is giving that. Kizzy being stripped
straight up.
The baby.
Straight up.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. There's a seismic shift culturally, Dustin, where men, women, queer, identified, trans, all these identities that have been marginalized and really subordinated in American culture for generations are finally starting to crack into what a liberated experience, a free experience in being America
mm-hmm.
looks like, and white parts of white America are not having it.
Mm-hmm.
And their response is violent.
Violent.
And we gotta name it that. But I'm gonna say this. I'm not going back. I know
mm-hmm.
you're not going back.
Not at all.
So it's gonna be what it's gonna be. If it's war, it's war.
Mm-hmm.
Cause we're not going back.
I'll die about it.
Of course I will, because here's the thing, because I'm just, what's it? I'd rather die on my feet
mm-hmm.
than live on my knees.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going back. So that's it. So y'all can sit in that nostalgia, you white insecure folks, because it's only the insecure white folks. The white folks that happen to be white but don't need to be white.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that one more time.
Mm-hmm.
The white folks that just happen to be born white. I'm not talking about y'all. Y'all just happen to be white. No problem. But if you need whiteness and you need the innate, unearned value of whiteness to survive in this world, I have bad news for you. The innate value of whiteness in America is depreciating every day, more and more. So you better get your shit together, level up, get a skill set, because we're not going back.
But that baby better.
Immediately. Immediately. And with
I'd
a big
be just
old check,
like Chili's,
too.
I want my baby back.
Oh, baby back, okay. Baby back, baby back.
Okay.
Yeah, we want this little girl back with her parents as she should be. And then I eagerly await.
The multi-million dollar lawsuit and settlement.
Quickly.
Yeah.
And apology.
Yeah.
From Dallas Child Protective Services.
And that fucking doctor.
And the physician and Dallas Police Department.
Yeah, everybody involved. And a public stoning. Shit, I just want to throw rocks at the son of a bitch that took my baby.
This is, yeah.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Nah, we're not going back, y'all. So much love, so much justice to the Jackson family. We're going to keep them lifted
for
up in
sure.
our prayers, y'all. And let's keep amplifying this story on social as well, because that matters, you know. That matters a lot.
Make as much noise as you can about it.
Got
that
to.
Is so, wow. Yeah. God bless them.
God bless them. And God
that
bless
baby.
That baby. And God bless any black family that chooses to put their well-being in their mm-hmm. own hands and not leave it up to chance. Because
yep.
we know what happens when we do that.
Yeah.
We die. All right, y'all, we're going to leave it there for this week's episode. Join us next week. Court will be back in session. We're going to get into some more nitty-gritty on these docket items. In the meantime, y'all stay safe. Enjoy this beautiful springtime weather. Aren't we glad about it?
So glad.
Say amen.
A to the man.
A to the man.
Okay.
Okay, and what you want the people to do, Dustin?
Read your terms and conditions and don't let them in your damn house.
That's it. Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jake Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead, Sarah Yu. Business development lead, Sheffy Ellen Swag, and marketing lead, Samira Still.